الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. صدق الله المولى العظيم. As a reminder, firstly, we should read Durood Sharif every day. Try and read 100 times a day Durood Sharif. Great, great virtues and merits are mentioned for it. And on Jumu'ah, we should try and increase our Durood and read as much as possible. Also, every day try and read in the mornings the first 10 ayats of Surah Kahf, and at night the last 10 ayats of Surah Kahf. And on Jumu'ah, try and read the whole surah. And if we can read the whole surah every day, very, very good. But all the fitnas of Dajjal, which are already all apparent, and we will get saved from that. Allah will give us the correct thinking, and we will follow the correct way. Also, with regard to that, very, very important is what food we are eating. If we are not eating halal and tayyiban, the food has a direct effect on our thinking, on our character, our dressing, and our dressing in turn has an effect on us also. So very important to see what food, and if we will read the ayats of Surah Kahf, Allah will make it that we will recognize which are the foods that we should not touch or look at even, and we will abstain from it. And then, after Jumu'ah, we should always try and read Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi 100 times. It will take about 1.5–2 minutes. Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi. And 100,000 of our gunas will be forgiven. And 24,000 of our parents' gunas will be forgiven. So whether we sit here in the masjid and read it, or we are on the way to the boarding, to our work, home, we can read it 20–100 times. Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq for all that which pleases Allah, and may Allah open upon us all those a'mal, du'as, which are most beneficial, necessary for us, and give us the tawfiq to read it and to make amal on it, inshallah. A few students have been asking me how to spend the Ramadan break. And then I thought this is a very important subject that has to be discussed so students can know how to spend their Ramadan break and how to make it the most beneficial. Time and Ramadan is going to pass in any case. If we do it just with reasonable ibadah, it will pass. And we make it most valuable. We make the most out of it. That person will benefit the most. Like during this December period, for business people, retailers especially, there is a very important period. And if a person closes his shop at this time, and he puts a board on the door of the shop, gone for fishing, at this time when he's going to be the busiest, and he's gone for fishing, or he didn't stock up for enough stocks in his shop, or he hasn't got enough staff, he's going to get very busy, and he didn't take on extra staff, how will he make a profit? But a businessman who prepared properly, he's got all his stocks and the right stocks also, and he's got staff and the correct good people who are selling, salesmen, then he stands to make a very good profit. So Ramadan also, as it is coming now, which is our break, if we just let it pass like that, how many go to wrong places even in Ramadan? And if we just pass Ramadan, we won't get the benefit of it what we are supposed to. And we can make maximum benefit from our Ramadan, the Ramadan break. Our mashayikh, Allah Ta'ala reward them. We try, we know we are very faulty, but we try and follow in their pattern. That they made a break of the madrasa holidays, the break in the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, there are so many madrasas whose break is in the month of December, which is the time of fitna. And now the students are off and they are exposed to all the fitna. And students, young people, normally by nature, they go towards the fitna. They are attracted tremendously, very, very greatly towards the fitna. And now there is no madrasa. So they will be influenced by that, and they will get caught up in the wrong environment. Our elders, Allah gave them jazaa khair. They kept just two holidays, basically, in our madaris. There were only two holidays. One was at the time of Bakrid, and that was for the great ibadat of Eid and the Qurbani, so that they can be free and they can get engaged and involved. And it's absolutely necessary to get involved in the Qurbani fully. And the other break they kept was in Ramadan, because the ibadat of Ramadan also is very exclusive and is very special. So for that, together with ilm, the Darul Uloom also, which our ulama built with great effort, going door to door, collecting money, running the madrasas, and tolerating all the challenges which come to them from the students, from the staff, from the public, but they carry on. Their object was to disseminate knowledge, pass on the knowledge of deen. But when Ramadan came, they closed the doors of the Darul Uloom, because now there is another very great ibadah, and which cannot be mixed with the ibadah of Ramadan. So they closed the door, for which they made so much effort, because now there is a great ibadat, the ibadat of the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, O Maulvi, you have allowed 11 months of the year to pass by without worrying of your spiritual condition. At least in this one month now, worry and make effort on your spiritual condition. Though the ulama he was referring to, the maulvis, were those who are teaching in Darul Ulooms. So the teaching, from that we understand, the teaching in the Darul Ulooms is not enough. There is another effort also. The learning and teaching of deen is far from where it should be, what should be. There is a much more greater objective in life. Hazrat Maulana Ali Niyasab, Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Abu al-Hasan al-Nadawi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, in the madrasas where only learning and teaching takes place, I don't say it's useless, but it is like useless. And Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, O Maulvi, that all what you are learning in the madaris is wasawis. That is just it's an outward thing. That means, though, of course, all our ulama, and from the depth of our heart, and that is what our life we have dedicated is for the madaris. But just stopping at just the knowledge, we have missed the boat completely. There is something much more greater that we have to endeavor and go for. And that is what is in this ayat, the Quran Sharif says so. Kunu Rabbaniyin. That become Rabbaniyin. Don't just become ulama, become ulama-i rabbaniyin. Ulama who learn all, firstly, nahwa, sarf, etc., all the other uloom, and then Quran, hadith, fiqh, all that. So don't just become ulama like that. Don't be dry ulama, but become ulama-i rabbaniyin. Ulama wa Allah wala. Rabbaniyin, Rabb, who have got connection with Allah. Who have recognized Allah, who understand who Allah is, and they've made a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Kunu Rabbaniyin. And how? Bima kuntum tu'allimun al-kitab, wa bima kuntum tadrusun. Your ta'aleem and ta'allum of the kitab, and your dars and tadreed, the kitab, Quran Sharif, the explanation of the Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif. And then all with the laws which are taken out from there, the fiqh. All this what you are doing, تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. And your dars and tadrees that you are doing. That all the ustads also who are teaching, the students who are learning, all this of nahwa, sarf, which is so important. And then afterwards, adab. and balaghat, etc., and all the other ulum. But all that is so that you become Rabbani. And if you don't do all this, and you haven't become Rabbani, you have missed the boat. My beautiful example, simple, straightforward example, is given by Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that if a person gives azan for namaz, like now for Jummah, azan will take place, and after azan he gives another azan, and another, fourth azan. Jamaat gets finished here, he's still giving azan. Is mentally something wrong with that person? Or a person who is making wudu, he makes wudu, after that another wudu, and yet Jamaat also is finished, he's still making wudu. The person got a mental problem. Just like that, if we are learning one hadith after another, we are learning one ayat after another, we are finishing rukus, and we are finishing quarters, and we are finishing suparas, juz, ajza of the Quran Sharif. We are finishing hadith, one hadith after the other. This bab, that bab, this kitab, and we finish the whole kitab also, but we are not making amal. We are exactly in the same category of that person who is just making wudu. He's not making amal. The namaz, wudu is for namaz. Adhan is for namaz. And we are just learning all the time. And the practice of it is not coming into our lives. We are just learning. So many times, one time, at one place, we're speaking to the ulama, and after in the bayan I mentioned that what is the dua after drinking water? All knew it, and now also all know the whole detailed dua. What is it? Alhamdulillah alladhi istaqani adban furatan bi rahmati wa lam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bi dhunubina. And if this question have to come in an exam paper, that analyze this dua, explain the deeper meaning of it, and the root words of and from which babs they are, etc. Very possible a student will get 100, he'll explain. Then I ask, who read it till today? Even once in our lifetime, who read this dua? The imam of the masjid, our student, and we have a good relations, we are open with one another. He came to me and he told me, Maulana, really, I never thought of it, but I'm teaching this so much to the children. And till today, not once did I read this dua. So for who is the amal? Another student of us, we also had a program in their masjid, and I explained about namaz, the importance of all namaz, and the nawafil also. I explained about asr. Asr is 8 rakat, and most of us only make 4. I explained all on that. Then the imam, who is also close to us, who is our student also, and he came to me, he said, Maulana, I always prided myself that I'm never late for namaz. He's the imam. And every time, if asr is 4:30, 4:30, I'm on the musalla. If asr is 4:15, 4:15, jamaat, I'm on the musalla. But today I realize that my namaz is not complete. I have to make my sunnah also. He says, I never make my sunnah, only making my farad. So for who is all this? That asr is 8 rakat. Asam, Yahudi, Nasara, Shaitan, Fir'aun, who is going to come and read them? It's for us, not just the knowledge. So the knowledge is not enough. On one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was returning to Saharanpur, where Hazrat Rav lived from Nizamuddin, Delhi, from the Markaz. And they were returning by road, and when you go by road, then Jalalabad comes on the way. So when they came close to Jalalabad, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, we are passing Jalalabad. Hazrat Ji, Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Masihul Ummah is here, let's meet him, take his duas, let's meet him. So when they got there, then Hazrat said, but let us first find out if Hazrat is not in some other work at the moment, or he's not resting at the moment. So they asked a student, and students are students, without thinking. He said, Hazrat is resting. Then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, we shouldn't disturb Hazrat. He's busy resting, and he's got all his ibadat for the day and night to make, and we will be upsetting his program. Come, let us move and go away. And Hazrat used to speak very fast, and his actions also very fast, quickly, let's go. They went away. Then Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came to know about it. That Hazrat Sheikh came to visit me and the student just in his nadani, in his not being responsible, being irresponsible, he just said, I'm sleeping. And I wasn't even sleeping. And Hazrat, even if I was sleeping, such a great personality came, should have woke me up. Anyway, then Maulana Masihullah himself went the next day to Saharanpur to go and meet Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. They met, asked normal salam, house things, etc. Then Hazrat Sheikh ordered one person of his khadims and his, who were with him out of the room. Till they all went out, and now only Hazrat Sheikh and Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali were left, and the khadim who narrates this incident of Maulana Masihullah. There were only three people. The khadim was in one corner. He was out of the picture really. But he recorded everything in his mind, what happened. So Hazrat Sheikh started crying, and crying very, very profusely. And two people I saw them, lot of other people who cried in the love and the fear of Allah. But two people I saw who cried was one Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali and one Hazrat our Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib. When they used to cry in the love and the fear of Allah, the whole body should shake. And they were uncontrollable. You just couldn't even put in a word there. Uncontrollable. Unfortunately, we laugh like that. We make jokes, we make ghibat, we talk about people, and we turn on our stomachs and we turn from this side and we are laughing. We are uncontrollable in our laughing. They were uncontrollable in their crying. And Hazrat Masihullah is trying to put in a word. He can't. After quite a while, when he managed to say something, he said, Hazrat, what is the matter? Is there a problem? What is the problem? If there's a domestic problem in your family, we are your slaves, we are your khadims, we are here to help out. Tell us, we will help out. If there's a financial problem, let us know. We will arrange the funds, and nobody will know. With great respect and honor, what is the problem? You are crying so much. When Hazrat managed to control himself, he said, nothing of that sort. I got no problems like that. My problem is, before students used to come for their tarbiyat, and now no students are coming. So what is going to happen to the ummah? If the students haven't got deen in them, they got knowledge of deen, they haven't got deen. And deen, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. You get your deen, the method Allah has shown is staying with the righteous people. The Sahaba are known as Sahaba because they stayed in the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that we have to reacquire. We go to class, but our object is not sohbat. Our object is dars, to learn our sabak, to learn, become alims, to pass in our imtihan. To come first, to get distinctions, to get 100 in the subject, but to bring deen in our life, that is not the subject. So we see a student, he comes to madrasa, he's making namaz, he's missing namaz, he's not full namaz, till he reaches Dora. He's still a masbuk, even when he's in Darul Ifta. He's still in masbuk. He's not making his namaz. So deen didn't come in our lives. After staying 6 years in a Darul Ulum, 8 years, we did hibs also, 10, 11, 12 years. But still the basic of deen, namaz, still hasn't come in our lives. So for that, then Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, to console Hazrat Sheikh, he said, Hazrat, no, students do come to me still for the Islam. Then Hazrat said, oh, if they are coming, then it's all right. But Hazrat said, by me, I see now students are not coming. And our great, great ulama, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, should say to the students who graduate that you have got the ilm and nabuwat. Now to get the noor of nabuwat, go and stay in the company of some Allah wala. For at least 6 months, go and stay in the company of some Allah wala, so that you can get the noor of nabuwat. Having the ilm of nabuwat is like a car, that you have got your light, the light fittings are there, but you haven't switched them on. So there is no light coming. The lights are there, but there is no light. The ilm is like we got the light fittings. And when we get the noor of nubuwat, then those lights, then you'll be able to see your direction. Otherwise, endlessly, unfortunately, our own students also, other ulama also, regularly we hear that they are employed somewhere, they are not there for Fajr Namaz. They have to be dismissed because they are not, after several warnings also, advisors, warnings, they still not there for Fajr. Their other behavior, their character, fighting with the musallis, etc. Many wrong things happening because they haven't got that nur of Nubuwwah. They haven't got a deen in them. They got the knowledge of deen. When they make read their Fajr, any namaz, the qiraat, how beautiful they read. They give a bayan, what a bayan they give. All the delight and the way of presentation, everything. But when it comes to amal, you ask for one, ask the wife what is the condition of the husband. He's a mufti, he's a alim, he's everything. But his character, putrid, zero. Hey, we are worried about everything else, but our amal, we haven't got. So deen is the object. One person had to go for an operation. It was about, say, 30 years, just an example. So when he went, he was very, very frightened, nervous, and very cabrified, frightened. So the doctor asked him, "What's wrong, my friend? Why are you so frightened?" He said, "Doctor, I've got a young wife, 27, 28 years, two, three young, small children. You are going to put me under anesthetic, you're going to cut me up, you're going to work on my body, and what if I die, I don't come back to life? What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? And this is the first operation in my life." So the doctor, to console him, told him, "My friend, don't be so frightened, don't be so excited. This is my first operation also I'm doing. Now what will happen to the poor patient? If this is the first operation of the doctor, and if it is that doctor who didn't do housemanship, who didn't do what you can call it apprenticeship, he didn't learn from experienced doctors how to operate. In his theory, in his papers, he got all hundreds, he got distinction, but practically he didn't learn how to operate. Now what will happen to, and in any country if there is law, such a doctor will not be allowed to operate also. He will be put in jail if he goes and operates. And he didn't learn practically how to operate from elder experienced doctors. Just like that, students of deen, we can get 100 in Dora. Every subject, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi, all 100 we get. But if we didn't learn, we didn't take time for housemanship, which we call for sohbat, which we call company of the righteous and the pious. We didn't learn how to operate from the elders. And we are also doing operations. And our operations are much more serious. Our operations, when we give Jummah Bayan, it's an operation on the people. And if we are doing it without having learned how, we didn't see our elders, how they do. When we have husband-wife argument comes to us, and then we have to sort it out. Unfortunately, our ulama, our student, we hear, then he marries that woman. He falls in love with her. Instead of sorting out the problem, he makes a bigger problem. And he has an affair with her. So we didn't learn how to handle the situation. People got problems and disputes in their partnership. Brothers, partners, and they come to Maulana to sort it out. But we didn't learn how to sort it out. A person hasn't got a beard. Now when he comes, how to sort it out? Either we go on one extreme and we'll swear him and chase him away. Beardless person. No deen in your life. On the other side, we don't do anything about it. We didn't see how our elders handled all the situation. So we are also doing operations, and we are operating on the iman of people, on the Islam of people. And we are doing those operations without having learned how to do operations. If any person, he makes it known, I'm a Maulana, I'm a Mufti, but he's not a Maulana, not a Mufti. The ulama will make it known to the public that this person is not a Maulana, he's not a Mufti, and he's giving his own masala. But he didn't study, he's got no sanad, he didn't study by anyone. In the same way, if we haven't done our apprenticeship, we are also not put in a position. But students, even before they graduate, we are giving bayans already. And we didn't get 1 minute sohbat also. We didn't stay in the company. So therefore, with now the Ramadan coming, and made us more conscious when the students ask advice how Ramadan should be spent. So you normally, there are a few things that we do. One is that we go home for Ramadan. It's holidays, we go home. The other is we make for Taraweeh. Either we make in our hometown or we go to another country, some other town, we go and make Taraweeh. Or we go in Jama'at. We spend time in Ramadan in Jama'at. But this aspect we hardly pay attention, that we should spend time in the company of the righteous and the pious. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah alayhi, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me also the opportunity. I spent one whole Ramadan in Saharanpur when Hazrat came to Stanga. And Hazrat made it really exclusive. 99% of the people who used to come were ulama. And the tarbiyat was being made, that how to do our operation, how we should handle people. So our students also, if they are studying for 6 years, then at least 3 chillas we should spend in the khanqa also. Wherever who our heart takes to do, who we feel will lead me to Allah Ta'ala. Spend 3 chillas, 40 days. If there are 6 years, the other 3 years, go in Jama'at, go home, go for Taraweeh, but preferably every second year, spend it in a khanqa. And spend our 40 days so that we can get the mizaj of Sharia. One is the hudud of Sharia, the limits of Sharia. And normally that is for the public, for the awam. But the mizaj of Sharia, to understand what Sharia wants. And that is that amal must come into our lives. Today, very sadly, the hard fact is that the ordinary people have got much more amal in their lives than what ulama have got. Ulama, no, this is not farz. This is nafil. This year, you can do this, you can do... They take all the leeway. Their wives dressing, it's not according to Sharia. Many times there, when they go on holidays, and there are many people in the public who have got more amal. And more than amal we need in our lives are sifat, qualities we need. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. The quality of taqwa, the quality of ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who make sabah. So all these qualities, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. People have got this quality of ihsan. So to develop that, like a person, you touch somebody who has got high fever, you can feel the heat immediately. You feel somebody who's cold, he was out in the cold, and you can feel his body is cold, like little children. Mothers will hold them, your hands are so cold. Where were you? Quickly go, warm yourself up. So we can feel it, just like that. The qualities of deen, that it must be in us. That the people who stay by us, they feel that heat, and they feel the qualities. But unfortunately, we haven't got them. We become big Shaykhul Hadith and big Mufti Sahab and big Muhtamim Sahab and everything. But we haven't got the basic qualities of deen. Therefore, try. It's not too late from this year. Especially all the students, that we spend our Ramadan, 1 chilla in this way, with the dhikr of Allah, with tadabbur and tafakkur, with du'as, etc. Allah is very, very kind. A person who goes a hand span to Allah, Allah comes an arm's length to him. And the details of that hadith, if we make a little effort, Allah will make you open the doors for us. And if we become ulama-i rabbaniyin, the person who killed 99 and then 100 people, and he asked an alim who was a genuine true alim, but not an alim-i rabbani, he designated him to Jahannam. He killed him also, he made it 100. But then he made thought of making tawbah, and he asked an alim-i rabbani, and he told him his way out, and then he went to Jannah. A murderer of 100 people, that kind of alims we must become. That such people who are the worst sinners, they also go to Jannah. And so we, and it's the ulama's duty, And we are very much lacking. Even our ulama who are teaching and who are graduated, each one asked, did I spend one weekend, one day in the sohbet of some shaykh for my islah niyyah? If much more is needed than that, may Allah give us all tawfiq and understanding and the correct amal, inshallah. Subhanallah.